Right. All right, we're in James chapter number 1. Anybody put any work into James 1 this week? Don't worry, if you didn't, you will today. Amen. Anybody feel like they are a little bit familiar with James 1? Okay, amen. Tell me some, we'll just kind of, what we're going to do is, remember when we outline, what we have to do is we have to know something about the text. We can't outline if we don't know anything about it, right? So we have James. Who is James? Just real quick stuff. You can just shout it out. You don't got to raise your hand. Who's James? He is a servant of God by the text. What kind of background do we have on James? Yes, he'd be a brother of Christ, right? Oldest brother there of Christ, half-brother, because, of course, be Mary and Joseph. Christ was not directly through Joseph, right? What else? You can shout it out, it's fine.
I was going to say the pastor of the church of Jerusalem.
Pastor of church there of Jerusalem after the 12 apostles, right? He then would take over, and we've looked at all the reasons for this. We're just stating stuff. He wasn't a believer while Christ walked the earth, right? So it's after that, right? Amen.
Well, he was the first pastor at Jerusalem Baptist Church.
That's what she has said. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Good. That's good. So we got who James is. Do you have something else?
I think just the topic so much. He's not so much dealing with the temptation to sin, but the temptation for sin and bitterness, but because they were driven out, not because they're being tempted.
Right. So what Kyle is saying is that the setting, right? Because it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, but when you know the setting. So what was happening? What happened that caused them to be scattered, right? It says the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. What scattered them? Gen Z?
Persecution.
Persecution. Who was the one that kind of started that, it seemed like, in the scriptures? Something happened. And then Saul came in and started hauling. Saul, who became Paul, started hauling them out of their houses, committed them to prison. Stephen, a stoning of Stephen. He was a martyr. By the way, he was the first deacon, well, of the seven first deacons there at Jerusalem. I am on a campaign to restore the reputation of deacons. They get a bad rap, right? If I was to just go around and try to get a connotation of deacons, I believe deacon may be or should be one of the most prized positions in a local church. It's the only position that says you purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness. Amen. And we look at the likes of those that were raised up. Because of the word diakonos, they were not called deacons in Acts 6. But because of the seven there that looked out among them, seven men of honest report full of the Holy Ghost, the apostles appointed them over the matter of caring for the people on a personal note so that the apostles could maintain their engagement in the word of God and prayer. And the two of those deacons were amazing preachers. They had great boldness to preach before the Sanhedrin, amen. Stephen did. Philip, an evangelist, and Stephen. And so this is who deacons are, amen. And absolutely amazing, amen. And we look at that, and boy, if I could just be one of them, I'd be happy about that, amen. Amen. And so, anyway, a deacon was persecuted because he was stoned, and then we know that the Jews in that day, they basically were under heavy persecution, and they ended up scattering. Who stayed back? What group? Who was it? The apostles, excellent. Yeah, the apostles stayed back. The church went abroad everywhere. What did they do when they went out? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Yep, it says that in Acts 7. And so they went out. And so when we look at this text, how many years is this removed from that scattering? About 25. 20 to 25 years. This is written about 60 A.D., latter end of James' life, who would ultimately, he would end up dying not long after. But that's who this is written to. Great context for the book, all right? All right, so as we get into James and we start looking at it, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all what?
Joy.
Count it all joy when you do what? Whoa. I thought we're supposed to count it all joy when we have a good day. Are we doing that? Yeah, amen. Maybe we should have this memorized. So we can remind ourselves. This isn't just, right, as Kyle mentioned, temptation to sin. This is more directly dealing with pressures, temptations, because of what others do in our lives. Anybody have any pressure from others in their lives a little bit? A little bit? Are you counting it joy? If you're not, you're not following the scripture. Amen? We got to start living the word, amen? If you want the blessings of the word, you better live the word. Amen? All right. Keep on going. What else do we know? What about patience? Tell me about patience. Where's patience come from? Yes. Well, he said patience when you're tempted and tried. We're to have patience through that temptation and trial, right? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How many here believe they could use a little more patience? All right, all of us do, right? How many here pray for patience? You do? You do? Really? Okay. So you'll say, that's something I never pray for, right, is patience. Because I know the process, right? But knowing this, the trying of our faith worketh patience. So we know that through this, through the temptation that they're experiencing, we know it's an opportunity for their faith to get them through, right? And what is faith? What is it?
Belief in God.
Belief in God, right? Belief in His Word. Belief that what they're doing is worthwhile. Why would that be important? When they were scattered, what did they leave behind? They didn't leave, well, it followed them some, right? They would have left persecution, but what else did they leave behind that we love? Yeah, their home, their families, right? People around, job, that probably belongings. They couldn't carry it all with them. They left their stability. I don't know about you, but I have stability in my home, right? In our little spot. We can resort back there, kind of refresh. They left all that, didn't they? And so they're going to have to know that what they're doing is God's will, right? You need to know the truth because that's what makes us free. Amen? And I do have a study, 10 ways you can discern God's will. Amen? We don't just discern it one way. We use all 10. We try to use all the scripture so we know. We have to be confident that what we're doing is right. As a pastor, I have to know that God put me in this position. Do you know why? Because some days there's some diverse temptations from others. And I have to be able to count that joy because I know by faith that yes, it's a trial. Yes, it's hard. But I'm okay staying in that hard spot because I know God put me here. If you don't know that, you'll do what? You'll quit. That's right. This goes on and on and on. I mean, whether you're talking marriage, right? There's not a perfect marriage on earth, by the way. Because you and I are involved in our respective marriages, right? And that ruined it. Say, well, it's the other one. No, it's me. It's me. Amen? And I'm a sinner. I married a sinner. We had sinners, kids, and we're doing the best we can. We're living by faith, amen? We're trying. And I made a commitment, right? I made a commitment, so I'm just going to stick with it. Say, but I don't want to. I know. That's why by faith we have to know God has directed this. Does that make sense? But same with church. Any perfect church out there?
No,
because we're part of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because people are part of it. And people are sinners. And so that's, we just got to do the best we can. Why do you stay? Well, I know God put me here. Does that make sense? That's it. Because a lot of people, when they go looking for churches, there's, what can that church do for me? If you go to a church for what it can do for you, guess what? When it stops doing that for you, what are you going to do? You're going to start looking for one that can do it for you again. Does that make sense? That's not what God says to do. How about a job? Are there jobs that people endure that they really don't like? Oh, yeah. Why would they stay in it? Well, if you're a Christian, do you think God gives jobs? Absolutely. If you're a Christian trying to do right by God, God, he's involved in that decision of your job, right? Do opportunities happen at work to talk to people? Oh, man. I go back to my time at ATA. You spend so much time with these other people, right? And what do? When you spend time with them? You talk. You talk about what's going on in your lives and you witness. And man, you have great opportunity. I still think back of great times that affected many in those times of just bringing them to the Word of God. I remember a guy, they went to a Christian church and he was talking about their youth pastor left and they're trying to find a new one. And I was like, doesn't your church run like 200 or 300? Yeah. And I go, there's nobody in your church that can lead the youth? He's like, well, I don't know. And I said, you mean to tell me you're getting resumes of people? And you're going, he's on the committee to get a new youth guy. I said, you're going to take all your precious commodities of your youth and you're going to put it under this person you don't even know? Just because they went to school somewhere? What? He about threw up that day. But the point I was trying to make was, you better be careful. And the one that left, they had issues with. I was like, just because someone went through school, got a diploma and whatever, and now they're a preacher, the Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. Be very careful with that, you know. And so opportunities like that, and I don't know how that ultimately worked out. I don't know. It might have caused a little riff there in that community. I don't know. But those are opportunities that I would never have had if I wasn't in a workplace for that time. Does that make sense? So don't look at your workplace like, oh, I have to go to work. No, 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 no. If God has given you that job, then we could count it joy, count it all joy. When those pressures come in of working, because we know our faith is being tried, and by the way, if you follow this next verse, we're actually not only being helped, but we're helping others. Does that make sense? Every part of our life, we just need to make sure. And then we can stick with it, because it's going to get hard, because the devil's going to fight, right? That's what this is all about. The temptations is the enemy's fighting. And if you're doing right, I guarantee you, the enemy's fighting. If you're not doing right, the enemy is happy with you. There's no reason to fight the army that isn't engaged. But there is great reason for the enemy to fight an enemy that is engaged. Does that make sense? So if it gets hard, you evaluate it. Maybe you're just having hard times because the enemy's fighting and you're actually accomplishing something. Amen? And because of that, we count that all joy because we know it's just part of the process. And here's what God does through that process. He tries our faith. I got to make sure it's by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that doubteth is damned if he eats, right? So, man, we got to be really careful we live by faith. All right, so then we're going to let patience. Patience has a time frame to it. We're going to let patience have her. Okay, what's perfect mean there? Get this real good because we're gonna outline it.
Without fault, without sin,
Is it possible for areas of our life to be perfect? I know we don't like to say it. Perfect as God intends it for that time, right? It's a maturing, it's a developing, it's a perfecting, it's getting rid of error. I'm not saying we're ultimately perfect, like without fault, whatever. But we're brought to a place. Job. What did God say about Job in Job 1? He was a perfect and upright. Right? Did that mean that Job had no fault? No. It just meant that what God had given to Job, Job followed. Job had applied. He was a man of God. He was eschewing evil. He was fleeing from evil. He was upright. He was a righteous man. By the end of Job, did Job have some repenting to do and some growth to do? Oh, yeah. So that's what I mean. Don't be afraid of, don't be afraid of that word. Amen. Don't be afraid of that word, because perfect is not a bad thing. It's what we're striving for, a perfecting. Amen. We'll see if that comes back. Amen. Do you like that? Nice and. Yeah. It looks like Fiji or something. That is really, really cool. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll see if we get this back or not. If not, we'll punt. But anyway, so perfect. So Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be. Yeah, perfect and entire. So can we become perfected without the trial of our faith and without persecution? That's a tough one, but I really don't see where there's another way for this process to take place. If you're doing really good in life, but you're never being challenged or tried, then you're really not you're not growing, right? Yes.
We learn through our mistakes. So to become perfect, you would have to go through all the trials to know that you made a mistake so you could get better the next time.
What's the purpose of a trial? Handle that, or you have something to add?
You don't even have to make a mistake. I mean, if you like have a football player, he's just reading the playbook all day but never actually goes to play. I mean, can you say he's a perfect football player even if he knows all the plays? He's never worked it out. He's never tried it. He's never been tried.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. What happened to my poor computer, amen? That's really good. And so what is a trial then? Yes. Like, define it.
A trial is like you acting out or testing of what you learned or your.
Right. So we're going to test it. We're going to put it to the test. Anything in maybe your experience that you've been familiar with putting something to a test? How do we test things? Yes. Okay.
My dad's like, well, I gotta make sure it's taking a break before the kids get on it, so he sits on it and starts swinging.
Oh, he did? Did it pass?
No.
Amen.
Yes.
It did pass?
I put it together, so surprisingly, yes.
That's funny. Amen. So we put it through a test. We put it through a test that is of more load than we really need. Yep. Why is that?
It'll stand up to the heavy load, and it'll stand up to the regular load.
That's right. Does that make sense? Yes.
Like a lot of airport and stuff, you say it'll rate it for like 100 pounds, but like really, it'll go up to like 250 or something, but the load they want you to know that they know it will work at every time is 100.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It'll hold way more than what it's rated for.
Right.
The one they want you, because the normal load is what it's there for.
Amen. Does that make sense? Here's the question. What does God have for you in the future? Does anybody know? Next year, next 5 years, what's God have for your life? I have no idea. Levi, do you know? No. Anybody? Okay. Who does know? Okay. So is if God applies what we just talked about, is God going to put you through things today as a test to ensure you'll be ready for next year? Will you have to go through harder things than you really need to go through?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's why we can count on joy. If we're going through some really, really hard times right now, what's that mean? From God's perspective, what's that mean? He's got something for us in the future that we're going to need to be strong for. Should that be exciting to us as Christians?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason we can count it joy. I'm going through what I'm going through today, and it's really, really hard. That must mean then that the trying of my faith that works patience today ultimately will make me so that I can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And in the end, as we look through here, it's ultimately going to be for the purpose of God using me in that greater way. Isn't that awesome? For that, we should be excited. All right? All right. What does wanting nothing mean? Not lacking anything, right? Not lacking anything in reference to what God has for you to accomplish. If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God. Will he give it to you? That's what it says. Will he get upset with you? No, it says he will not upbraid you. We have to ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. Does the wavering man receive anything of the Lord? No. If you're wavering in your faith, well, I just don't know what God's going to do with this. I just don't know how it's going to work out. Will you be helped by God? Will you be strengthened? Will you be gaining this perfect work? No. No, because that duplicity, being tossed to and fro, will not grow you. If anything else, it actually causes you to diminish. Anybody ever get to the place where you've been so beat up from a situation that you feel like you don't even know which end is up, right? Like almost confused about it, right? Is that where God's trying to bring you to? No. He's not the author of confusion, is he?
No.
Okay, so what's that say? Remember, Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If not, serve Baal. Normally, when we're brought to confusion in a situation, it's because we're trying to hold on to two polar opposite decisions. We want our cake and eat it. We want to be on both sides of the fence on an issue, right? Do you know that the trying of our faith is trying to get us out of that? Do you know if you're living a hypocritical life? Sometimes. All the time? Let me ask this. Do you know what others think of how you're living right now? Probably not. Because we skew it. But what if God wants you to reach somebody that right now they don't think much of your Christianity? What's God have to do? He's got to put it to the test. Why does he put it to the test? So we know of what sort it is. Is this making sense? Is that a bad thing? It's a good thing. Does that make sense? So again, another reason I can count it joy, because God is working in my life to show me what my faith is, or show me something in my life. Amen? And every time we're tested, what has to go away? What is God getting rid of in a test? What is it? Sin. Unbelief. He's getting rid of connection sometimes with wrong things. What's that? Lack of faith. Yeah, unbelief. Every time we go through a test, that's what the point is. It's not just that God's giving us faith. That's good. We want faith, right? But to gain faith, you're going to have to lose something. And that's the part we don't like. And so what happens is we hang on to what we don't want to lose. And that's what prolongs this patient side that's trying to develop a perfect work. Amen? Does that make sense? As a pastor, I really enjoy watching this process in other people. I don't like watching it in my own life. I'll just be honest with you, right? No more than anybody else does. But I enjoy watching it in other people's lives because I understand the end of that process, right? You'll see somebody get less faithful about things and all that. A lot of people are like, oh, no, so-and-so's not this, not that. I'm like, it's okay. I believe they're saved. We're going to see something here. It's gonna come around. Something's going to happen, right? So how do you know that? Because I know God, and I know how God works. And so we just don't want to hinder that process. We want to be everything God wants us to be in that process because there's a million components to every situation, and you might be a part of that. Amen? But at the end of the day, we don't lose hope, and we don't cry in a corner about what might happen because we know that God's involved. That's why we can count it all. It's not always fun to go through things. At the end of the day, when we look at it from God's perspective, it should bring about a joy in our life because we're thankful that God's involved. Does that make sense? It wasn't enjoyable that they all had to leave their homes, but we do see the Great Commission going forth, right? He did say that they were going to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then the othermost. And that was the part of that, right? And I'm sure today they look back, I mean, in heaven, right? The great cloud of witnesses. They're looking at this thing, and now that horrible event of that day is just nothing, right? Because of what's happened past that. And we get to that. That hindsight is 2020, right? Because now that we've got through, we look back, oh, yeah, God was involved the whole time. Well, if you're a believer, you knew that. You already knew that. Amen? Isn't that exciting? It's so fun to be a believer. Amen? All right. And so we can't be tossed to and fro because if we don't have faith, we're not only going to gain nothing from God, but we'll be engaged in that wavering life, right? And if you know a wavering person or you find yourself wavering, it's a very uncomfortable place to be. I just don't know if I should be doing this, and I don't know if I should be doing that. And it really cripples you from doing what you know God wants you to do. All right, it says actually a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's unstable? Did you ever get one of those coffee mugs and you got this really nice big top, pour stuff in, all that, that goes way down to this little base. Like, what are they thinking? Amen? And you, yeah, you got this little base. How about reversed? I know they want it to fit in a cup holder. I get all that. But you gotta be careful because it can fall over. Or not even one of those, at least it has a top. You can put the top on it, all that, and it's not gonna spill. See? But you get one of those, like a glass. We have glasses in our cabinet at home. And it's got this nice one, the glasses are kind of shaped like footballs. You know how footballs look. And at the bottom, it's this little, I'm thinking, what? That's like an accident waiting to happen right there. A person's life that's unstable is also an accident waiting to happen. And they're easily moved by the enemy because they don't know what's up and down. They're so unstable. That makes sense? Well, we don't want to be that way. And then we're just going to complete this so we can then go to outline. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The brother of low degree is someone that's humble. You just take my word for that for now. We'll study that out later. And that God says he will exalt those that are humble. The rich, that'd be the proud guy. He is made low. So if you know proud people, even if you're one of them, God knows how to abase the proud. A know-it-all. Now, I'm not saying someone that's confident in the Lord and it's you're just a conduit for God to speak truth. Well, of course you look like a know-it-all because you're just speaking truth. God knows everything. Amen? But you can still be humble and speak truth. And then there's the proud who believe they know it all because they're smart. Got it all figured out. I went to school. I was top of my class. I feel bad for all those that are top of their class. I was never top of my class. Amen? What's that mean? I have to work hard, right? I had to apply myself. People that are top of their class, a lot of times they just skate through life. They skate through everything. Then they get all upset because their life fell apart because they don't feel like that should have happened to them because they're special in their own eyes, right? God knows how to abase the proud, but he also knows how to exalt the humble. God can use the humble, so he exalts them and uses them. But God brings the proud down because he can't use them. But if they will become humble, they're usable now. Does that make sense? So God works to bring them down, not to hurt them, but to help them. And God exalts the humble so that he can use them. So we see that here. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat. That is a picture of the diver temptations. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. That's what happens when a proud person goes through hard times. When a proud person goes through diverse temptations, keeping in mind These are temptations. These are pressures that others put on their lives. How you handle the pressures that others put on your lives tells a lot about you. Amen? Does that make sense? If when others put pressure on your life, you get bitter, you get offended, you get upset, you become unstable, you make rash decisions, you do all these things this is talking about, you're not operating in faith. When that happens, what's happening? You're being withered. That's the purpose. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat. That's the diver temptation. If you're proud, it withers the grass. What happens when you look at a field of grass and it's well watered and it's a good green, all that? That's beautiful, isn't it? It sure is. You ever looked out at a field and, man, the sun's been beating down on it for weeks now. There's not been much rain. What's that field look like? What's it mean? What do you mean awful? It's dried up. Is it standing nice and tall? No, it's withered. It's hanging over. Dried up. The color is not green. Good green anymore, is it? Now it's brown. Amen. If you try to run a lawnmower over it, it's all dusty, right? The ground comes up. It's horrible, right? That's what happens to a proud person when diverse temptations come in from others. That's what happens. It makes them horrible, right? That's what it's saying here. Sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. What's the flower of grass? Yes. It's the fruit. Thank you. What dwells in the fruit? The seed. And the flower, if it's not like a vegetable or a fruit bearing, it still will flower, right? And that flower is where the seed is, right? So guess what happens in a proud person's life when they don't respond well to the outside pressures coming in? Their flower falleth. Meaning, they no longer have seed to reproduce as a Christian. Is that horrible? It's horrible. And so, but for a time, that might have to happen. Make sense? The flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. What is the grace in a Christian's life? He giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud. So what is grace to a Christian's life? It is God's presence. It is the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. And it gives us an aura. It brings forth like a Shekinah glory to the believer. Well, if you're proud and going through this process because you're upset because other people's pressures in their life are destroying your thought of what your life should be, and you're upset about it and you can't count it all joy and you get all upset and bitter about it and all that, you lose that countenance that reflects the glory of God. That fades as well. It perisheth. So also shall the rich man, watch this, fade away in his ways. He used to be something. She used to be something, but now it just fades away, become nothing, right? That's the process. Verse 12. Lastly, of this section, we're gonna look at blessed. What's blessed mean? Happy. If you're blessed, you're happy. You're happy. You're being equipped. You're being given to. You're increasing. Happy is that man. Blessed is that man that endureth temptation. What type of temptation? Well, specifically in this text, we're trying to outline a passage. I'm going to keep pulling you all back there.
Diverse temptations.
What were those diverse temptations? Pressures how? From where? From without. These are not pressures from within. They're pressures from without primarily. Sometimes pressures from without bring about pressures from within. But these are primarily the temptations and pressures of life based on how others treat us. And from this standpoint, in how they were trying to serve, all they were trying to do was serve God. And others messed it up for them, right? But that's not how they saw it. But it was pressures. That's what they were trying to do. They were to count it joy. Watch this, verse 12, it finishes this out. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Got to get through it. How are we going to get through it? With patience, letting this process work out, right? If we lack wisdom, we're going to ask God for it. And anyway, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Every one of us go through this. This isn't just for some, it's for all that are Christians. For when he is tried, he, what's that word?
Shall.
I like that word, shall. That means that's going to happen. Amen? He shall receive the crown of life. I believe that crown of life refers to a crown in heaven, but I also believe it refers to something on earth. If you are wearing the crown of life, it means that you understand what it means to have life and to have it more abundantly. Do you know some people that are Christians, man, they live life to its fullest in its right sense. They have a crown of life on their head. That crown testifies of God. Amen? This rich guy doesn't have that crown of life. That glory done faded away. They're nothing. But to the one that will endure, he'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you mean to tell me after all of this is the first mention of the word love. After all of that, we find out who really loves God and who really just loves themselves. Isn't that crazy? How we respond to diverse temptations tells us if we love God or just love ourselves. Anyway, so we've gone through James. We have about 8 minutes, and we're going to outline James chapter 1, all right? And so let's go ahead and do that. Let me see if I can't get over here. Oh, there we go. It's hard to run this little mouse guy on wood. Shiny wood. Oh, there we go. Where is that? Actually, I actually put together. Let's see. Okay. So we're not going to look at mine. We'll do it enough here. Yeah. You see here I did the joys of temptations and then down from there. Amen. And so how would we outline James? If we would start off outlining James, and we would say something like, if we're going to give headline to it, like for me, what I said there was, because of James 1, I said the joys. It's hard to type like this. The joys of temptations. What we put as a subtopic under that? Oh, misspelled that one. Well, besides being a critic, I appreciate that. If you guys could just answer the question, that would be great. Okay. So you'd do what? What would you say next? You'd outline the temptations.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're trying to just grab hold of this text. So if we are just trying to outline the joys of temptations, what will we put? Was patience a temptation?
Temptation.
Joys of temptations? You could say that. One of the joys of temptations is that it develops patience. We could say that joys of temptations, what is it? It develops patience. That's good. Let's do that. What were you going to say, Patricia? We could do that. If we went that route, it's tough to type up here. I need to hire a typist, I think. There we go. Well, if... What is it? Right. So that would, if we did this instead, like if instead of saying joys of temptations, if we said types of temptations, let's do that. So if we're going to outline types of temptations... Then we could say offense, possible offense. Man. What else would be a possible temptation that they might have had? Another temptation, that the pressure they were under. Yes.
Temptation.
Huh. That's good. A temptation to quit. That's right. A pressure to quit. What other temptation? Yes. Okay? Why would they judge others? Who would they judge? I would say in this context, those that are pressing on them, those that are trying to cause problems in our life. Is it easy to judge people like that? Oh, yeah. So, types of temptations, offenses, temptation to quit, temptation to judge others. What else?
Be angry at God.
Oh, man, that's a good one. What? To be angry at God. Wow. That's exactly what would happen, right? Okay, so those are types of temptations. What are the joys of temptations? It does say count it all joy. What are potential joys from these temptations? One we saw, developers, temptation, yes. That's right. We have opportunity for wisdom. I'm going to hit that guy. We'll fix that spelling in a minute. Oh, man. For wisdom. Oh, good. Spelling. The spell checker got in there. Awesome. I like spell checker sometimes. Amen. Yes.
You develop more faith in God.
Increase faith. Yes. That's a great one. Joys on through this temptations, we could then, I don't even know what I was thinking on from one. Yes. Fulfilled. See, joys of temptation. You were saying, say that again.
I was saying you can see God fulfill a promise like in real time, but that's really like wisdom.
Well, what you do see is fulfilled promises. And that would be when we're in hard times, we rest in the promises of God. God said that the faithful man abounds with blessings, right? I'm just going to stay faithful. And then we see that fulfilled. So that's really good. What were you going to say, Kyle?
Also really see a crown.
A crown of life. Amen. Very good. Yes?
You're going to be humbled and God's going to exalt you.
See, God exalts the humble. And that means that through the temptation, if we are humbled by it, then we know that in due time, God will exalt us. Amen? The great example for that is Joseph. Right? Boy, that was quite 13 years. 13 years of being put down. But then ultimately, God, almost as if he was at this end of the spectrum and God put him to this end of the spectrum like overnight. Amazing. Who else could have exalted Joseph like that? There's no way. That was absolutely God doing that. Amen? So, joys of temptation. Anything else in our text we could see? What is it?
Humbling of a proud Christian.
Another joy of a temptation. Now, this isn't from the one going through it, but from what we see is, through this process, he tells us what's inside, and if our pride is there, it exposes it. And if we run with that pride, we also know what'll take place. But I put perfection because we are supposed to let patience have her perfect work that we may be perfect. And remember, when I said perfection, I just mean perfected in an area of our life, developed, matured, and then lacking nothing. Does God know what you need? Okay. Do you lack in any area today that you believe God doesn't want that area to remain vacant or lacking? Yeah. You have one of two options. You could either fill that vacancy yourself, or you could let God fill it, right? And this process says that if I will endure this trial properly, that I will lack what? Nothing. Go back to Joseph. In Joseph's life, did he lack things while he was in a slave in Potiphar's house or in jail? Did he lack things? After he got out and he was exalted to that position in Egypt, did he lack anything? Anything? He even got to see his family again. He got himself a wife. He had children. Everything, didn't he? His dream before all that happened is that his brothers will bow before him. I say his dream. That was the dream he was given, right? He even had a dream that his father would bow before him. Did that happen? It did. Did he lack anything? Okay, so the means to gain, then, right things, is by counting it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Isn't that good? Wow. Anyway, good stuff. All right, so this is how we outline. We understand the text, and then we make a heading, and we start populating it. All right, we'll pick this back up next week because we're out of time, and hopefully this will just keep working through this. We're gonna develop this a little bit more. We have some more headings to put, and then we'll figure out what needs to go below it. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for helping us today. Thank you for this text of Scripture, and I just pray you'd bless richly as we consider this in Jesus' name. Amen.